acts and treasure.
Matthew Gospel chapter 1 verse 1.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, of course. And he went on and on till verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And I told you that the theology of genealogy, that is the reason for genealogy, is the Christ. So you would end with Joseph gave birth to Joseph. Jacob gave birth to Joseph, the husband of Mary. You observe that that's almost like a Genesis story. Right? Jacob actually begat Joseph. And it's just repeated itself the same way. And that would give a whole lot of importance to Ephraim and Manasseh. But that's not for today. We would look at that much more in the coming year. But Jacob begat Joseph. Joseph begat Christ, Jesus, who is called the Christ. And that's Joshua, actually. Begat Joshua. That's Jesus, who is called the Christ. And I told you that the reason for genealogy is the promise of God in Genesis. God gave his word about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And that is fulfilled in Christ. So because of that promise, man will now track genealogy, now track who is birthing who, till we can see the seed of God. That makes sense? And I told you that by starting it with the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, I told you that means the writer wants you to read Genesis and the Psalms, at least. He wants you to read Genesis and the Psalms. And that tells you, not just that he wants you, he wrote from there himself. I told you that those who wrote what we call the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the account of the Gospel, I told you that they wrote from those books. Peter told us, he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That is, these are not crafted up stories. We saw him. We saw him, but we are not writing to you because we saw him. We are writing to you because we have a more sure word of the prophets. So we said, the account of the Gospel shows us that Matthew to Revelation is the continuation of what? Genesis to Malachi. Is that making sense? So you observe that Jesus himself taught from there. Upon the resurrection, when he met his disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, and then they were doubting, and then, you know, unbelief was in their hearts. And Jesus told them, he said, O fools and slow of heart, in verse 25, Luke 24, 25, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, that's very important. Again, I believe that that's one of the most crucial teachings of Jesus. Beginning at Moses. So, again, Jesus himself was an expositor and a teacher of Genesis, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He now expounded to them. He taught them the things concerning himself. So it means that we cannot know Jesus if we don't read Genesis. As simple as that. We cannot know Jesus if we don't read the Psalms. Don't forget, in Luke 24, 44, he said, these words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which are written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Luke 24, 44. So again, Jesus was a teacher of Genesis to Malachi. And it means, listen very well, Matthew writing this, the book of the generation of Jesus, the Genesis of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I said, what it means is that, listen very well, you must follow through with the breadth of his writing. Meaning that whatever he's writing from there, you must be linking it. And not mischievously, you must be looking at it and say, where is this in Genesis? I told you, for example, when Jesus said, if your brother will trespass against you, that is a Genesis teaching. Cain was the one that called Abel his brother. Am I my brother's keeper? And I said, that is the same definition of brotherhood. God corrected that in Abraham, in the same Genesis. Is it making sense? So when Jesus will now come and say, if your brother trespass against you, did it happen both in case of Cain and Abel and Abraham and Lot? Yes. Jesus now points to you a new Genesis. This is how you handle it. Not like Cain. So, Cain will say, am I my brother's keeper? Abraham will say, for we are brethren. Let there be no strife between us. So, but Matthew is writing it and he just writes, your brother trespass against you. But you must not look at it as, oh, he's just saying your brother trespass against you. You must see it with the eyes of Genesis. You must see it with the eyes of the prophets. No, there's no new teaching. Nobody taught anything new in Matthew to Revelation. Everybody, they were all explaining what the prophets have said. And that's why Peter would say, it's like the day dawn. It keeps getting brighter till the day star arises in our hearts. Right? Because it's progressive revelation. What do I call it? Progressive revelation. That is, as you're reading from Genesis, you are seeing clearly. Isaiah will now pick up Genesis and expound it in his own age and time. John will now pick Isaiah and also expand it. Then Paul will come and then pick both John, pick both Isaiah, pick both Moses, and then expand it. Can you see progressive revelation? Alright. That's the way we must see it. You must not think that, as I'm reading the book of Matthew, why I'm doing all of this, Matthew 1:1? Because next year we're going to look at the four Gospels. We have looked at the book of John, which, because it was not part of the synoptics, so we looked at him separately. But we're going to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke together. And it's going to cost us some years. But we're going to see Matthew, Mark, Luke together. Hallelujah. And, of course, with some other books. Obadiah, Jonah, and Titus. I think we're ready for that. Alright, so, again, they did not teach any new thing. They were only explaining the old. I'm saying this because we're going to look at something that Matthew would now write about. And we have to be able to see the Genesis story in it. Did Jesus also teach from Genesis? Very well. When they came to him and they were tempting him about divorce, can a man leave his wife for every cause? Amen? That sounds like a 2022 question. Can a man leave his wife? You know, I was on YouTube, what was it, day before yesterday. So I was watching football, they call it podcast, vlog, whatever. Different names in this age. So I was watching a football, so after I was done, YouTube now suggested one couple stuff. You know, these days, it's couple that are just doing everything. You know, you just marry. You know, you're marrying content creator. I don't know. People are taking as job now. You know, just as you're marrying, go and buy ring lights. You can give people ring lights as wedding gifts now. You know, you just open YouTube channel. Kinikon and Joy and Pam. Welcome to our YouTube channel. Click and subscribe. Seriously? Alright, so I was watching and then the wife said something. She said, if you don't have money, I will leave you now. And she was a bit serious. And the other said, I know that money is the grease. I know that I just said, I've watched enough. You know, I thought that was, lately I saw them, I married Matthew 19. Can a man leave his wife? Shall a man leave his wife for every cause? You know, they asked Jesus. And Jesus did not start doing philosophy with them. He didn't start doing psychology. He just said, calm down. In the beginning, you see what he just did there? Brought back the Genesis story. Is it making sense? So Genesis, don't forget we're talking about arts and treasures. Genesis is too critical to every part of your Christian living. If you're talking about salvation, you have to go back to Genesis. If you're talking about redemption, you have to go back to Genesis. That's where the story started. If you're talking about spiritual growth, you have to go back to Genesis. Because in Genesis, you see that as long as there's time, seed time and harvest time, we not see. That's Genesis. That's growth. Amen? Amen. You know, so you have to go back to the Genesis of things. You can't talk about spiritual growth without Genesis. You can't. You can't talk about salvation and what God is doing in people's life without Genesis. So it's too pertinent to our faith. It's too important. And we want to look at, I wanted to call this teaching the simple gospel before. But because we have something around that, the gospel according to Jesus, this gospel. So I decided to call it arts and service. Arts and treasure. Amen. Because I think we're going to look at arts and service next week. Amen. So arts and treasure, arts and service, arts and till we get to the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. You can call it the Acts series. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Alright, so, I want to call it the simple gospel because I discovered that a lot of people have complicated Christian living. I mean, if you ask 10 Christians what it means to be a Christian and to serve God, they probably give you different things. I mean, this one will tell you, it's just about praying. This one will tell you, it's just about going to church. This one will tell you, it's just about studying God's word and knowing God's word more. This one will tell you, it's about prophecy. So the question is, what does it mean to be Christian? You know, and that's why we are looking at this art series. The art. And look at Matthew 19. Very important. Because we need to know what God has called us to do. This series is about what God has called us to do. And really finding a purpose to life. In Matthew 19, I think we looked at this briefly during the retreat. Don't forget, we started with Matthew 1 to tell you that the entire Matthew is a Genesis story. Right? And I taught you before that Matthew is the new Genesis. In fact, Matthew 1:1 and Genesis 5:1 are almost the same thing. In Genesis 5:1, I'll tell you that this is the book of the generation of Adam. Then in Matthew, it changes it to the book of the generation of Jesus. And I told you, of course, that is very hermeneutical. That's very important because it poses Jesus as the new Adam. But we're going to look at all of that not today. Alright, so again, Matthew gives you a new perspective, a new beginning, a new Genesis, a new story, a new story. Hallelujah. Matthew 19, verse 16. So behold, one man came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's like, what is the gospel? What do I believe? What do I do? What good thing shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is nobody that is good. There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. Again, someone said, it does that mean that there's nobody that is good in this life. It's only God that is good. Even Jesus is not good. I know that. But you see, that's a very nonsense way to say it. Yeah? Again, he's just saying, if you call me good, are you admitting I am God? Is it making sense? So you must read in context. Don't just pick. He's saying there's nobody that is good except God. Though. So are you saying I am God? Because that was the bottleneck at that age and time. They were not admitting. They were admitting that I was a teacher from God, but they were not admitting that it was God. So he says, there's no one that is good. Only the Father. Only God. So why are you calling me good? Alright? So that's almost, I don't know what a part of speech you are going to call that, but he roped him in. Amen. All right. But then he said, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. Amen. Keep the commandments. Reminded me of when I was in boarding house. A lot of things happen in boarding house. If you went to boarding house, you probably have a million stories to tell in your life. Sincerely, for those that went, those of you that did not go, it is well. My condolences. But if you went but now, you have a million stories to tell. Keep the commandments. That's what one guy told me. Just keep the rules. What did I say? Come and be my school father. Because my school father was useless. My school father, they will be beating me. My school father will be looking at me. He'll be running behind. He will run behind the school. Behind the hostel. This one is a father. So I went to meet one other guy. Big. Said, I'm begging you. Be my school father. I discovered that his sons were enjoying it. He looked at me like this. I was very small. He looked at me. Can you keep the rules? I said, I can keep the rules. I said, the rules have to do with money. I mean, I don't get you mad. It was 2013 that they used to give me. My guardian. And my guardian would say, she's keeping it for me. Keep what? You are saving for me in boarding house. Do I want to buy a car? Do I want to buy a house? I just want to survive this place. Give me my money. He said she was giving it for me. That she used to buy polo. Who sent this one? So the man, keep the rules. I discovered that the rules are to do with washing his clothes. You pay him every week. 100 naira. So he had, look, so what he does is that he will settle his other colleagues too. So they will not touch his own school children. Crazy business, man. That guy should be on Forbes list by now. Alright, so Jesus said, come on, go and keep the commandments. Then he said unto him, which one, Jesus? That is, he has read it. Which one? Yeah, then Jesus said, don't commit murder. You shall not do murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Of course, that's Exodus, Abby. Alright. Honor your father and mother. Can you now see that? Everything is still from Genesis to Malachi. Alright. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Very important commandment. Amen. Amen. I don't want to believe that we have a killer here. A murderer. I don't want to believe that. Amen. Amen. Let me hear it very well. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the one sin I know that. No good commit murder. Alright, so they say you don't commit adultery and all of that. But observe something. The young man now said unto him, I have done all these things since I was a child. What do I lack? And sometimes it mirrors the Christian journey, our Christian journey sometimes. If you, I'm praying. Pastor, I'm fasting. I don't miss my prayer chains. What do I lack? Something is missing. Have you ever felt like that before? You know, you're doing everything you ought to do. You know, you just feel, hey, what's happening? Why do I feel a void? Why do I feel this big hole? So the young man came to Jesus and said, if you're talking about those ones that Moses mentioned, I have done those things since I was a child. What do I lack? Then Jesus said, if you will be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. He saw unto thee that one. But of course, let's see what the reaction. The young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Amen. Some people don't even have great possessions. Just tell them, don't take this kind of job. Just take this one so that you can be in service. And they're already going away sorrowful. Hallelujah. He had great possessions. So when Jesus told him, he said, go and sell everything you have to the poor. He can't be serious. He looked at his PA. Translate what he just said. Say, it means go and sell everything you have. Your laptop, your house, your car. All the dollar that you have been holding. Go and sell it. If you go and sell it and keep it in the vault, Oh, okay. I feel you. Heavenly finance, right? Right? You just say, Jesus is smart. He knows that there is inflation coming. Say, go and give it to the poor. The young man went away sorrowful. This teaching, listen very well, will help you. The young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, look at your Bible. Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. They said, who can be saved? Of course, not you guys. He's not talking to you guys. They were not rich. These ones, they were just staying with him. They were eating bread, free fish. So he wasn't talking to them. But they said, who can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said, with men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. You know, some people have used this this verse to say, that means rich people are not going to heaven. And I've seen people literally adore poverty and all of that because they feel when you're poor, you're closer to God. When you're rich, you're farther from God. Again, that's a wrong ideology. Whether you're rich or poor, that's an earthly status. Amen. I told you on Sunday, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is no born nor free. Hallelujah. Born nor free as societal status. That is, whether you are an employer, you are an employee, you are a chef, or you are an MD of a bank, or you are the president of the nation, there's no bond nor free. We are all one in Christ. Amen. 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 No male or female. Alright, but so, that's not what he's talking about. So the man went away sorrowful, and Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle. When I was younger, I used to think it's needle, like needle and thread. No. Needle is almost like a part of the wall in a city. So every city wall, you know those great walls. Have you seen those massive walls, right? So they always have like an opening at the bottom, right? That allows trading of animals. Sometimes because of flood, water, so that water can go out and, you know, so they always have it. So the wall is not this kind of wall. Giant walls, a wall that can be as tall as this building, yeah? This is a two-story building, so a wall that can be as tall as this. And then you have just that opening at the bottom, yeah? So Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to enter. Now, because camels have this hump, yeah? So that extra baggage. Right, because they have to first descend, either ascender is the one that will descend, and then they will now have to go through that needle. And because of the hump, oftentimes it's always impossible. Is it making sense? So Jesus now uses it's almost like an idiom, a parable of, like telling someone it's easier for you to enter Forbes list. It's not like it's impossible. A camel can go through the eye of a needle. It's just difficult. Right? Right? You know it's difficult to get on Forbes list, Tabby. Ah, the way you said it, yes it is. Have you tried? Hallelujah. So it's not an impossible thing, it's just difficult. Jesus said it's easier for that a camel to now enter into that wall than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Then the disciple said, then who will be saved? Because everybody wants to have money. And Jesus says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Can you see that that's not a miracle verse? So when you say with God, all things are possible, what is possible? Eh? It is possible to let go of the world and embrace Christ. So when you say with men, it is impossible, but with God, all things, what's the all things? What he asked that man to do? Now, he's not asking him to go and sell everything and give it to the poor. He's asking him to choose Christ over money. He's asking him to choose Christ over his status. He's asking him to choose Christ over his marriage. He's asking him to choose Christ over his career. He's asking him to choose Christ over his ambitions. With man, sincerely, it is impossible sometimes. Because you have spent so much time in this. You have invested so much of your life. And someone says, it has to be second fiddle. It has to play second fiddle. Hallelujah. You have, imagine someone who has gone to school, probably went to medical college, spent 6 years with ASU and everything, spent like eight, went for ASU job, did NYSC, went for his residency, he was a junior resident, did senior residence. As he was doing that in clinical training, he was running his master's and PhD. I'm wondering how that is possible. That's like camel entry. Have you ever seen one before? Doing junior residence and doing master's. Have you seen? It's like camel entering eye of a needle. Alright, but after doing all of that, then you now ask the person, this is not the most important thing in your life. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus just told the man. He calls it a rich man. The question is, rich in what? What exactly is he rich in? Than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. What is that? Because Jesus told him in that verse 21 that if you follow me, you will have treasures in heaven. That's also riches. So the question is, what is he now rich? Why do you call him a rich man? Than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So he says, with men it's impossible, but with God, this one is possible. Say it's possible. Say it's possible to serve God all my life. Say it's possible to make Jesus number one. That's my possibility. Amen. And so Jesus begins to show the importance and the vitality of the art in our daily walk with God. Because the truth is, listen very well. Someone can be preaching and teaching and be doing everything, and his heart is not right. Are you listening to me? And his heart is not right. So we're looking at the arts and treasures. Amen. Sell all you have and come and have true treasures. Sell what you have and come for treasure. With man, it's impossible. But with God, it is possible. So we said, this story, or whatever we are reading, Will it be a Genesis repetition? Eh?
Come on.
Eh? It's happening. It's happening. Real life, real time. But it's Genesis. Because that's a new Genesis. Just like those guys that wanted to divorce their wives. The Pharisees. Is that not what Israel did to God? Come on. Was that not what Israel did to God? Jesus has said them, no, from the beginning, God and man are one. God and man were made to be one. It is the hardness of heart that placed the divorce. It was happening in their time, but it's a repeat of the Genesis to Numbers. Is it making sense? So, this man came. But it's almost a repeat of what God told Abraham. In Genesis 12, God told Abraham, leave your country. Was that not what Jesus just told that man? Because in Abraham's country, he had wealth. He had possessions. He had everything he needed. Then God says, you know what? Leave this place. And don't take anything. You know, leave this place is okay. It's, excursion. I'm just going somewhere, sightseeing. You know, just go around the world. God is taking me around the world. Cover the earth. As long as I take my checkbook. Right? As long as I take my credit card. Or my debit card. Anyone. As long as I take my phone. You know, where the alert comes in. And alert. As long as I call my business. Then God said, no. Abraham, leave your business. He says, so where? God says, I will show you. That's the most difficult decision. Because when you know where you're going to, it's easy. But I will show you means you just keep moving. That is exactly the Christian life. To a land I will show you. Keep moving. Oftentimes when I counsel people, what I just say is, just continue. Christian living is simple. Find out God's will and do it every day. Don't complicate it. That's simple gospel. Find out what God wants and do it. Nothing spooky. Excuse me. Sometimes we just overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate what God wants. Find what God wants and do it religiously. Amen. So, Jesus told that man, leave what you have. Give it to the poor. God told Abraham, leave your country. Move on. To a land I will show you. Look at Hebrews 11. That's where we see it from. Properly. You learn something tonight? And I trust God that our hearts and our treasures will be in the same place. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, he went out, not knowing where he was going to. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith. Can we read verse 13 to 15 together? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For they that see such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if you have been mindful of the country where they came out from. But now they desire a better, an heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called a God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen. This was Abraham's life. He was sojourning as a stranger and pilgrim. Verse 13 says, they declared that they were strangers on the earth. They declared that they were strangers on the earth. They didn't see this world as everything. Don't forget, we are coming from the Matthew 19 that took us to the Genesis story, right? One of the tools of the devil in this age. Listen very well. And I was praying about this some months ago. And that was when I had it. That one of the tools of the devil in this age is to make people feel that this is all there is. I don't know how else to say it. It's to make you think This is it. They didn't see the world as the end. It says, they declared themselves strangers and pilgrims. Have you done that? Because we have a lot of Christians who still see the world as their stage. Oh, the world is mine. Something like that. I can paint on the sky, the sea, I'm not saying this guy, you want to own the sea. But everything that is your treasure is outbound. Something is wrong. Jesus wanted that man to mimic Abraham, to follow the steps of faith, the journey of faith. Abraham left his country not knowing what was ahead, just following what God has said. Jesus told the man, he said, you know what, you have obeyed everything. Can you? You have not done one thing. Your heart is not in the right place. He says, you have to sell it and follow me. The truth is, could the man still have the money and be following Christ? You know it's possible. He literally wasn't telling him, go and sell everything. And, no. He's like saying someone should go and quit their career. And I've never told someone that. I don't think I will. I don't think I can. Except that should be a very specific instruction by like 8 witnesses. If I can tell someone to go and quit their work and come and be sitting in church. Because I don't plan to do it myself. Amen. So that was not the issue with Christ. The issue was his heart was in his money. He had treasures that were not the treasures of Christ. And that could be some of us here seated tonight. Oh, I know you are claiming, I know. You're my desire. What's the song you sang earlier? Huh? My priority. I was born to know you. I was born to serve you. To find salvation in Christ. And then to preach and spread your light. You are singing it. What's that prophet to Sam again? Embers and fire. There's a fire that is burning within. But you know yourself. And you know where your treasure is. That's the truth. You can fool anybody. You can fool a pastor. You can fool everybody. But you can't fool yourself. And you can't fool God, of course. Don't see this world as the end. Oftentimes, that's what the devil tries to make a lot of people do. See this world as enough. It's not. The world is not enough. So people start putting their treasures in riches. If you want to know, go to social media, you will see it. Some believers, I'm not talking about people who are not saved though, some believers can do anything for money. I'm not talking about someone that is not born again. I'm talking about someone that is born again, tongue speaking, demon chasing, Holy Ghost meeting, partaking. Amen? Can do anything for money. If you ask them, stop church for 5 weeks and get 1 million naira. Just 1 million naira. People are really smiling. Pastor. I'm gonna be back after 5 weeks. Yeah, is that question in your heart now? That's not just 5 weeks, now 1 month. If I went for course, I would have been back. And I will come, first I will give CD. You and who are school, let's see the CD. Am I a farm? Because your treasure is money. You have made everything about money. To some is marriage. Everything you're thinking. See, when I just get married like this, this is what I will do. This is what I will do. What are you doing about? And so everything revolves around that. Like that's your life goal. Even animals get married. You've not seen it before. Lions, they get married. Animals. Amen. Where is your treasure? That was the lesson Jesus was teaching that man. It wasn't about his car. It wasn't about his stocks. It was about his heart. It was about where his treasure lies. The world is not enough. I heard that from Reinhard Bonnke in 2007. And he shouted it out. He said, the world is not enough. Not the riches, not the comfort. Some believers, all they just want is, no, let me just be comfortable. Let me just... Now, I'm not saying you should not be comfortable. It's a good thing. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing. But that must not be your goal in life. That must not be your treasure. Hallelujah. Oh, when I just have my family, that's all I need. That's a false reality. Jesus told he told his disciples in Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God. That's a treasure. You ask yourself, do I truly Listen very well to what I'm saying tonight. Do I truly treasure Jesus? Is a question you should answer yourself sincerely. Because Jesus told that man, that is only the way to the kingdom of heaven. That's the only way. So how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, you've got to put your treasures in the right place. Hallelujah. You've got to put your treasure in the right place. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You need to ask yourself, where is my treasure? What do I treasure the most? What do I treasure the most? I won't trade you for silver or gold. You what? To buy you 200k. Oh, this is silver. 200k. 200k. What is trade here? Jesus is always enough. He will come back. He will take me back. You mean more than the world. To me. Everybody say, to me. And you know in your heart, that the world ranks above Jesus. Where is your treasure? He told the woman, go and do the commandments. He said, I've done it. You have this. And said, okay, go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor. Follow me. The man did not, he could not even give a response. The Bible says he went away sorrowfully. Every time they tell you about consecration, every time they tell you about serving the Lord, about giving your life to Christ. You know, giving your life to Christ is not just at salvation. Amen? Giving your life to Christ is what you do all your life. It's what you do today, it's what you do tomorrow. Following Jesus, it's a call that takes all your life. It's a call that takes all your life. It takes every fiber of your being. He says, go and sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Let me see what you can do. You know, if you just said, yes, master, and he's about to go and start doing it, Jesus would have said, very likely, you have a true heart. Because he never asked anyone to do it. Did he not have Joseph Arimathea, his disciple who was very rich? Amen? Paul never asked anybody to sell what they had. Philemon was a very wealthy man. That's not the issue. The issue is where is your heart? In those things or with Christ? Is your heart in a degree because of BSc? BSc. I'm not speaking low of any degree. But BSc, prophet, does it guarantee anything? Because of marriage. Jesus told the man, go and sell it. Let's see what you will do. He could not do it. And he said, it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man. Let's flip it. Than for a man who is concerned about his degree. Than for a man who is concerned about marriage. Than for a man whose treasure is in this. Your treasure must not be comfort. It must not be riches. It must not be family. It must be Jesus first. Don't get lost in the vagueness of this life. It must be Jesus first. Hearts and treasures. That is what the gospel is about. That is what following Jesus is about. About your heart and about your treasure. And them being in the same place with Christ. The gospel is not the American dream. It's a life for Jesus. A life that is being lived for Jesus. Abraham, he called himself a stranger. You know what it means? For someone who was that rich, who was that wealthy, to say that this world is not my own. I'm just passing through. What a song. This world is not my own. Some people don't even have 1 over 34 of the money Abraham has. 1 over 34,400,000 billion of the money Abraham has. And your heart is just already not in the right place. You keep your heart in the love of God. If you discover that your treasure is changing, go and fix it by prayer. Are you listening? Get yourself to the prayer room. Lock it up. And say, Jesus, you are the love of my life. The year is closing on. To remind ourselves of the reason why we are here. Because the truth is, we will not be here forever. There was a brother I was talking to. And I told him, I said, no matter how much a man gathers, right? We're talking about, it was on Wednesday. Or Wednesday or Monday, I can't remember. He said, no matter how much a man gathers, he will still leave it. No matter what. Where was the most brilliant man in 1832? Is he even still in the grave? His body don't go. Where was the most wealthy man in 1824? Do you know his name? Who was the richest world man in 1700? But you know, there are people in his own time too. Life is only worth living for Jesus. Pray for me as I close. Look at Moses in Hebrews 11. Go back to that Hebrews 11. Because I want us to pray. Hebrews 11. Are you there? I'll read from verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused, say refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Can you see that? Greater riches than the pleasures of Egypt. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the pleasures of Egypt. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the pleasures of Egypt. That is what that man did not do. That's what exactly he did not do. Moses, a prince, bred, brought up in the palace. And he says, Nah. I side with Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures. He saw it as richer than the pleasure of Egypt. What does rich mean to you? What does rich mean to you? Does it mean that, oh, you have all the money in the world, you can afford to buy anything? Does it mean, oh, you have the best family, that you have, you know, this child, all this childhood dream and everything? You know, the dream and all of that. Fantasy. Knight in shiny armor that will come to save you. They tell you that there is knight in Nigeria. Amen? Have you seen knight before? You are Cinderella. You are not forcing your husband to be knight. That's how they look. You say, what's in the apple? Say, you do like, this is how you open door. Open door. The only door I open is the open doors for the gospel. That's what. Say, you open the door like this. Okay, I've opened. You bring out the seat. I have built it out. You are disturbing your mother more. Hallelujah. You must esteem Christ greater treasures. You must see it as rich. What does rich mean to you? Does rich mean, oh, I'm a child of God, I'm doing His will on the earth? Does rich mean to you, I'm in fellowship with the Father and with His Son and with His people on the earth? Does rich mean to you preaching the gospel? Does rich mean to you praying and having that personal fellowship? What does rich mean to you? Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Thank you, Jesus. Where is your treasure? What is that thing that if they take it from you, life will not be the same again? Sometimes before we look at it and we say, oh, I don't know why it's difficult to probably just serve God and stay, you know. Why it's difficult to do this, why it's difficult to do that. I'm not finding that easy, none of that. Check your treasures. Check your treasures. Amen. Check your treasures. Check your treasures. Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 19. You know, the days are near. Amen. We pray God's will into our lives. we align ourselves into God's plan. We stay full of purpose. We stay full of fire. Everything that has been malaligned will come back in proportion in the name of Jesus. Every loss of focus, every distraction, in those little foxes that destroy the vine, those little thoughts that have just taken you off course, from tonight you have a fresh fellowship, a fresh desire, a fresh fire, a brand new passion, a brand new desire to serve God. You will feel it in your bones. Matthew 6, in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. This is red letters, man. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust can corrupt, where thieves can break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there is no moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where is your treasure? We're talking hearts and treasures. We're talking matters of the heart here. The things of God are not past. They are not in the past. People are still experiencing God like the days of old. You can still feel His presence in your room. Why are you not experiencing that? Why? Why are you just observing the motions? You know what it means to observe motion? Just because your heart is not in the right place. Put your heart on Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at what Moses said. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. We read loud. And now Israel, when Israel, what would be the connotation now? The church, yeah, good. Now Israel, what does your Lord thy God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. That's what God wants from you. That's all. To serve the Lord with all your heart. We see that much next week. But we're looking at the first part. To love Him with all your heart. Do you actually love Jesus? Do you actually love Him? Do you actually esteem what you have in Christ greater riches than what this world offers? I was talking to a friend last weekend. And we're talking about something. I said, I don't belong to the people who are afraid of death. I'm not dying soon. By the power of the Holy Ghost, kept and preserved for ages to come. But it's only when you have not done the right thing that you are scared to face God. Not. I've given Him my life. I do it every day. do it every day. Jesus to me is worth more than gold. Worth more than silver. And worth more than gold combined. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? You know, you go on outreach, you go to preach and everything, but you actually have no joy in it. If you have joy in it, you will know what you're doing. Every time I preach the gospel to someone, and they get saved, every time I teach, there's just this joy. Because I know I am doing what he asked me to do. I'm not doing it out of compulsion. I'm not doing it out of, you know, it's not work. That's where my treasure is. When you tell me to teach someone, it's like you dash me money. I love doing it. When you tell me let's pray together, it's like you are giving me free check. I love doing it. Where's your treasure? Where is your treasure? Or have you lost it? Where is your treasure? What is that thing that your life revolves around? Tonight is the night of a lot of questions. Like God asked Adam, where are you? It's a lot of questions. What does your life revolve around? I don't know it. You can answer yourself. Because you can fool yourself. And if you know that it's not in God's will, the best way to get it back is prayer. Jesus was praying and said, you know what? Left to me, let this cup pass over me. My greatest treasure right now will be to just stay on the earth and keep doing these miracles. But you know what? Prayer changes our desires. Say, let your will be done. You just need to pray. You just need to stay in that place. To stay in that place of consecration. Where heaven and earth meets. To stay in that place where you can hear God. Where you can touch Him. But how long do we stay there? Sometimes we cannot even bear. You know, sometimes we don't even think of it. We are just so busy in this world. Busy with the bread of this life. The bread that perishes. And we ignore the bread of life. That is eternal. Busy with the things that we go. Like Jesus said. Don't lay your treasure in this earth. It's a waste. So put it. Lay it up in heaven. Where your treasure is. That's where your heart will be. Where's your heart? Is it on money? Is it on comfort? Is it on companionship? Is it on whatever? I don't know. What's that thing that gets you every time? That gets you every time. Teaching this tonight. Knowing fully well that we are in a world full of distractions. We're in a world where what I'm just saying right now is probably not easy for a lot of people. And I know that too well. Sometimes it takes years. Years of telling yourself the same thing. Years of actually walking that path. But you must put your treasure. You must know what is the riches to you. You must define it. Just know that man. You know what? With men it's impossible. That's what I just said. Knowing man's way alone. You know, you just feel, I cannot do this. It's not possible. Pastor, let me just be doing what I'm doing like this. But with God. Say with God. With God, it is possible to follow Jesus and make Him your treasure. That's what I said. Restore joy back to your outreaches. Restore joy.
restore riches back to it. See it as valuable. See your prayer times as priceless. See them as gold. When you have the opportunity to fellowship with the Father in and around the things of the Spirit, see it as valuable. See it as priceless. Riches must mean something else to you tonight. I love that old song. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you. I sang that song some years ago with my friends. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. I will run after you. The truth is, one day, everybody will be faced with a judge no man can bribe. People have clapped for, they've clapped you on the earth. They've celebrated you. But on that day, it's going to be an audience of one man. An audience of one. And what will be evaluated? Your treasures. A treasure of service. Where was your heart? Christian living is simple. Jesus number one. That's it. Is that difficult? Is it? No, is it difficult to understand? I think it's because it's not difficult to understand, right? Jesus number one. If it's not there, you need to engineer your heart. In the old Aladura word, you will need to do surgery. You do spiritual surgery and put him there. You have no separate spirits from those who are in the house of apostles, who love Jesus with their life to death. You have no lesser Holy Ghost than Stephen. Amen. You don't have a lesser Holy Ghost than Stephen. Maybe more worldliness around, but that should mean more prayer. Right? That should mean more passion. Right? That should mean heightened perception to the things of the Spirit. And so tonight, I charge you, brothers and sisters, lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. Let Jesus be the love of your life. And I pray for you. For those whose passion is waning, and where it seems that the fire is going down. Ibong the sim del kita kenda kita da son of a fashada logos, ira batata. I see footsteps. I see footsteps. But it has stopped. It has stopped. Where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go, says the Lord of hosts? This is not the path I engineered for you. This is not the path I want for you. Where is the step? I can see you. I can see you. Come back on track. For these are the days of service, says the Lord. And these are the days of passion. And these are the days of power, says the Lord of hosts. He says, in those days, your people shall be strong. In the days of your power, your people shall be willing. Your people shall be willing. Your people shall be willing in the days of your power. The willingness of the Spirit, supernatural willingness to stand for God and to do His purpose. Inange samba rodesa is laid on your heart right now. Kemanda sakada ba yena manus. Kile no zole bagine matu saganga de. Imo kopati na sakopa agada ni yadaka. Ida batole basi yena bodo bali yada. Abo bagata shataba. Jiyanda galagata tata. The reality of God. The reality, true reality will dawn on you. You will see this world for what it is. You will see money for what it is. And you will see Jesus for who He is. Your eyes are bright. Your sight is bright. To see and to know. To perceive the things of God properly. And where joy was lacking, joy is restored. Where passion was lacking, passion is restored. Where fire was lacking, fire is restored. Kenan de lisam profage de letusa. E mare de tenga legadisanabatiafa. Agoro ti sombaladida mada. I know you want to love Jesus, you want to serve Him in your life. Sometimes it feels difficult and sometimes it feels like a long road. It feels like a long way to go. But from now, you have ease. Kenato pinasa. You have ease. You will see a supernatural turnaround. There will be a miracle in your walk with God. You will see it. You will feel Him. You will feel Him. You will feel Him. You will carry your Bible with joy. And you will preach it with gladness. You will stand strong. And you will stand tall. And you will say boldly, I have come in the name of Jesus. You put Jesus first. You put Him above the market. Adasha, He can see none. His fire we burn within. Jesus, walk on our hearts. Walk on our hearts. Walk on our hearts. He said, if any man open up, you will come in, you will dine with him. If any man open up, you will come in, you will dine with him. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are open to your ancient word. To your ancient word that changes and imparts. Our hearts are open to the fire of your spirit. Pray for yourself tonight. This is how to pray for yourself. Renewed passion, Jesus. Renewed passion, Jesus. This is December 2022. Adare mi mi ma wonu aye mi lo. Patonde se gaba. That my desire becomes your desire. Your will becomes what I want. In a world of many voices, Jesus, yours is what I recognize. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. I'm a child of God, true and true. Burning with your fire, full of your glory, and full of your passion. My steps are on track. My lantern is lighted. My light will not go off.
My heart is with you, Jesus. Where joy was missing, joy is restored. Where passion was missing, passion is restored. In the name of Jesus. Where passion was missing, passion is restored. Jesus said, not my will, let your will be done. Prayer can change your life. Prayer changes a man, changes his desires, changes his priority. The gospel wrote, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same was a burning and shining light. That is my story. A burning and shining light. A burning and shining light. For Jesus in 2022. For Jesus in 2023 and beyond. A burning and shining light. Sent from God. A burning and shining light. Is this how you know how to pray? Baba koko bati di kete bata kala baba buti buta asa koko bata chachi di bata kata ko pano zombre lege 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 lege. I will serve you with my days, Lord. You are my desire. You are my treasure. My heart is open for your fire. I'll show you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're still praying. You know, that scripture we started with in Matthew, that Matthew 19. You know, the young man came to Jesus and he said, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know what? Go and keep the commandments." And he said, "I've done that from my childhood." And all that. You know, that showed the man's passion, right? It showed that he was willing. But how did the story end? He walked away sorrowfully. That's not you. So what he's telling you, that it means that it's possible for a man to start purposefully and not end well. It's possible for a man to start, I want to serve God. No, all of us, we're in that place now. Oh, I want to serve God. I want to be, and at the end of the day, is the camel Jesus was talking about. At the end of the day, he is not part of those that made it. He walked away sorrowfully. You are going to pray. My passion is preserved. My thirst is preserved. My hunger for the things of God is preserved for decades and decades to come. I will not miss it. I will not walk away. Pray for yourself. My passion is preserved, untouched by the world. Blessed are those that are hungry, for they shall be filled. I am hungry, Lord. Hungry for what you can do. Hungry for what you say. Hungry for what you do. I am hungry. My hunger is preserved. My hunger is sustained. I would end badly. I would end badly. I won't end badly. At the center of my story, all my life, it will be Jesus. You are the center of my life. Now and in the years to come. In the years yet unlived. In the days yet unseen. It's all about you, Jesus. Air to my lungs. Health to my bones. My life is all about you. Like that man, I will start well and end up badly.
are about to round up. Ensure that prayer does something to you tonight. Ensure prayer does something to you tonight. Let it do something. Let it do something. Let it do something. Let it do something. Let it fix something. Let something be fixed. Shape me, Lord. Mold me, Lord. Use me, Lord. One minute more. Hold someone beside you and let's pray together. Jesus, I will serve you all my days. I won't tire out. I won't tire out. I won't tire out. I won't burn out. I won't burn out. I won't burn out.
Amen.